Hey, if you're looking for a new phone, the Apple-Samsung war may just be what interests you, if you've got the cash. It's the business news headlines for Thursday, the 13th day of February. Thanks for being with us. That Microsoft-Amazon defense deal, it's on hold. A major newspaper ownership group has filed for bankruptcy. What's really killing retail? We've got some suggestions on that. The market report and more. Plus, today you'll meet Liz Cooney, a learning specialist at Tarot International. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Tarot International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and if you want to reach out to us on Twitter, you can do that. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. We're all over the place. On Twitter, it's at @IOB_NewsHour or at Business News. Well, this week, Samsung kicked off its Galaxy Unpacked event with a slick promo video introducing its new folding smartphone, the Galaxy Z Flip. It was all pretty glitzy for the Galaxy. And then the price reveal. It came out at $1,380 for the phone. And it wasn't even the most expensive smartphone Samsung unveiled that day. The top-of-the-line version of its new flagship, the Samsung Galaxy S20 Ultra, starts at $1,399. If you get a 512-gig version, well, that price ticks up to $1,599. Yikes. The Samsung event highlights a new normal for the smartphone industry. Back in 2017, Apple shocked the world by charging $999 for the iPhone X. People said, it's never going to sell. Oh, but it did and does sell. Two of Apple's newest smartphones, the iPhone 11 Pro and the 11 Pro Max, start at $999 and $1099, respectively. The latter can cost as much as $1449 and you can't get any of Samsung's newest phones for less than the once unthinkable price tag of $999. Even Motorola. Yeah. Motorola is charging $1,500 for a smartphone reboot of its Razr flip phone that comes with a plastic screen, a small battery, and a fairly average camera. But that didn't stop enthusiastic and maybe nostalgic customers from lining up. Motorola had to push the new Razr's launch date because of high demand. Hey, it's just money, right? Well, today a judge ordered a temporary block on the Jedi Cloud contract in response to a suit filed by Amazon. Shares of Microsoft fell slightly on the news. A court notice announcing the injunction was filed today but wasn't public, and it's unclear why the documents were sealed. A little background for you. Back in April, the Defense Department announced that Amazon and Microsoft were the two finalists to provide the contract, ruling out other contenders like IBM and Oracle. Then in July, President Donald Trump said he was looking into the contract after IBM and other companies protested the bidding process. Microsoft was awarded the contract on October 25th. Now, Amazon has been protesting the move, saying that it was driven in part by President Trump's bias against the company. Trump often criticizes Amazon and its CEO Jeff Bezos, who also owns The Washington Post, claiming the newspaper unfairly covers his administration. Speaking of newspapers, in media news today, we learned that the publisher of the Miami Herald, the Kansas City Star, and dozens of other newspapers across the country has filed for bankruptcy protection. McClatchy's 30 newsrooms, including the Charlotte Observer, the News and Observer in Raleigh, and the Star-Telegram in Fort Worth, will continue to operate as usual as the publisher reorganizes under Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. McClatchy origins date back to 1857, when it first began publishing a four-page paper in Sacramento, California, after the California Gold Rush. That paper? Well, it became the Sacramento Bee. McClatchy has received $50 million in debtor-in-possession financing from Encina Business Credit. That, combined with normal operating cash flows, will provide enough cash for the company, still based in Sacramento, to continue to function. The estimated U.S. total daily newspaper circulation, including both print and digital, fell in 2018. It fell by 8% from the prior year to 28.6 million for weekdays. Sunday circulation fell by 9% to 30.8 million. All of that according to the Pew Research Center for Journalism and Media. Well, stocks ended lower today, slipping from record highs as investors grappled with a jump in reported coronavirus cases and the virus's possible economic impact. Weren't we just talking about this yesterday? The Dow closed down 128 points, off by 0.4% at 29,423. S&P 500 fell about 0.1%, closing at 3,373 after notching an intraday record earlier in the session. The NASDAQ also finished down by 13 points, or 0.1%, to end the day at 97.11. United and American Airlines both fell by more than 1%. Wynn Resorts and Las Vegas Sands, two proxy stocks for the coronavirus, given their exposure to China, declined by more than 2% each. China said it confirmed 15,152 new cases and 254 additional deaths. That brings the country's total death toll to 1,367 people, as the number of people infected jumped to nearly 60,000, all of that according to the Chinese government. On the data front, weekly jobless claims rose marginally but remained near multi-decade lows. The latest read on the U.S. Consumer Price Index, that's a widely followed measure of inflation, rose by 2.5% year over year. Now remember, just last week we had the wages report. Remember that report? Wages were up by 3.1% year over year. That means that consumers are netting income that's about 6/10 above costs. You know, we've reported for months about the number of retail stores going out of business. Last year alone, retailers closed more than 9,000 stores. And this year, we've already heard of 1,200 store closures. Now, many people blame e-commerce for the downturn in retail, but there are other issues at play. After all, more than 70% of retail spending in the United States is in categories that have had slow encroachment from the internet, either because of the nature of the product or because of laws or regulations that govern distribution. All that would include spending on automobiles, gasoline, home improvement and garden supplies, drugs and pharmacy, food and drink. Well, what else other than e-commerce might be impacting retail? Well, Austin Goolsbee of the New York Times has several answers. Take, for example, the way we shop and big box stores. We've moved away from smaller stores like those in malls and toward standalone big box stores. 4 years ago, the University of Chicago analyzed the recent history of retail and found that the rise of warehouse clubs and supercenters was bigger than the rise of online e-commerce. So what else could be impacting retail's downward spiral? How about rising income inequality that's left less of the nation's money in the hands of the middle class, and the traditional retail stores that cater to them have since suffered? The Pew Research Center estimates that since 1970, the share of the nation's income earned by families in the middle class has fallen from almost two-thirds to around 40%. According to a report by Deloitte, it's no small wonder, then, that retailers aiming at the ends of the income distribution, high-income people and then lower-income people, have accounted for virtually all the revenue growth in retail, while stores aiming at the middle have barely grown at all. About another impact. You know, with every passing decade, Americans have spent proportionately less of income on things and more money on services. Stores, malls, and even the mightiest online merchants remain the great sellers of things. Since 1960, we went from spending 5% of our income on health to almost 18% today. We spend more on education, entertainment, business services, and all sorts of other products that aren't sold in traditional retail stores. Economists debate theories of why we have shifted to services and away from goods, but no one questions that it has happened. It means that over time, retailers selling things will have to run harder and harder just to stay in place. And finally, there is this, and it has to do with mental health issues and how things are vastly different in school than they are at work. A generation of workers who often received allowances at schools or universities to accommodate mental disabilities are now encountering more difficulties as they enter the workforce. The Wall Street Journal says accommodations on the job are far less frequent. Managers also report more difficulty in accommodating these disabilities, according to employment attorneys and disability experts, with many younger workers alleging that they've been encountering discrimination in the workplace stemming from their mental health issues. All right, coming up next, you're going to meet Liz Cooney, a learning specialist at Tarot International. What is it she does, and how did she get here? It's quite a story. Liz Cooney, coming up next on the Business News Hour.